Hello, everyone. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson. Usually the theme is playing right now, but I decided not to play the theme. Monday's Memorial Day, and I want to honor our soldiers, fighting men and women out there still in combat, not to mention our veterans. I think about that all the day, every day. And it hits me personally because my girlfriend has a son who just enlisted into the Navy. I've known him since he was 10. It was always her son. I called him by his name. You know, they go through the spurts in their 18s or their 16s and 17s. His job was to protect his mother. My job was to love his mother. And sometimes we had conflict. Well, one day, he enlisted into the Navy, and I saw his graduation. And I saw all those proud, I saw it through the computer because I could not make it. His mother made it. But I wanted to participate. We were kind of distant, but we respected each other. But I saw the graduation, and he graduated. And the very first time, I don't know what happened because I have no heart. I had a tear running down my eyes, and I was so proud of him. And the very first time, I just realized I had a son. I've never been so proud of him before. And from then on, he was my son. So I want to say thank you to all the armed forces out there who are keeping us safe, fighting for our freedom. It's just, this goes into another phase where lately I got a lot of flack about Donald Sterling. And you're wondering why I bring Donald Sterling in this, and I'll tell you why. Because I happen to believe we're the divided states of America. It's always us against them. It's always the Democrats against the Republicans. It's always the blacks against the whites. It's always the women against the men. It's always the Jewish people against the Catholic people. It's always the conservative against the liberals. And somehow I think we've lost our way. We have people calling the President of the United States names, tearing them down. Got conflict. But I think we lost our way. I hope Monday we become the United States of America because I see flags out there. And when I see a flag out there, I'm thinking about that guy in a foxhole who was white and who was black. They may not agree on certain things, but when the fighting comes, they're brothers. I'm seeing that woman in a foxhole. I'm seeing a guy in a foxhole. He may not be politically correct, but he will fight to the death with her. She's an American. And that's what it's about. And I think we have lost that. And I think when it comes down to it, even Donald Sterling, if we had foreign enemies who invaded our land and they were coming towards him, I think as Americans, we will fight to the death to protect Americans, no matter what their beliefs are, no matter what they said. I don't condone what anybody says if it's, you know, silly and stupid, but I will fight for my life for them to say it because we are Americans and we are a land of the free. It may not sound good, but I will fight for the right, for your freedom to say what's on your mind. So, opening this up, I want to thank all of you people, mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts and sisters and brothers who enlisted, drafted, and the people before us, the Revolutionary War up until now, who died for our country. I want to say thank you, and I want to remember you. And I want to play this for you. And God bless you. It should come on any minute now, or it's Blog Talk. It's going to mess up this one day of Memorial Day. and I gotta keep talking. Both ways. God bless you, veterans and military. We remember. Now in the United States Navy. Never been proud of him. All right, everybody. Let's start the show. We have a big show here. Great show. All right, everybody, let's open everything up here, and let's say hello to everybody. We have a very special guest coming in today. I mean, my God, she's a queen. So let's be on our P's and Q's. Good morning, Kelly Corbin.
Good morning, Brian. How are you doing today?
Doing good, kid.
Good.
Doing good. Big show, huh?
Yes, it is. It's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, I see all the people in here. I got to say hello to Ellen. Hello, Ellen. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Ellen.
Hey, Kelly. I'm doing good, Brian.
Good. I would like to say people coming in to see me, but I know that's BS. Good morning, Mr. Efron Valdez, my bro.
Good morning, my brother. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hear that there's royalty in the house, so I've got my purple socks on. I'm ready.
I usually don't do pre-interviews or anything like that, but I talked to her a little bit on Facebook, and just be nice to her, or she'll behead you in a minute. She is tough. She is one tough lady.
I think this is one of the few times that I can say as a man that I would probably enjoy that.
All righty. And good morning. We have a very special visitor, Chip Stanley. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Oh,
hi, Chip. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm doing fine right now.
I'm good.
Little bit warm. It's 92 here. It's getting hot.
Ooh.
Wow.
That is hot.
Going to have a big Memorial Day barbecue there, Chip.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys. Our guest is going to come in pretty soon. And just want to play this and let's get the show going. Because Monday is Memorial Day. But every day, we are Americans.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her till today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Thank you.
know, Kelly, I may not always agree what you have to say, but I will fight for my life till I'm dead for you to right to say it, for you to have the right to say it. That's the American way. I hope we didn't lose it. All right, everybody. It's time to rock. It's time to bring in the queen. Wait, the queen's not coming in until when, Kelly? When is the, we're
She'll
waiting
be
on
here
the queen?
In about 15, 14 minutes, something like that.
Oh, good. So we can make fun of her. All right. All right.
Yeah.
She's a tough cookie. Let me introduce, where's Butch? You're new. Butch, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Where are you from, Butch?
Oh, hi. I'm a little nervous, but I'm from Brooklyn, New York. Born in Brooklyn, live in Brooklyn, and I'll probably die in Brooklyn.
Woohoo! I love Brooklyn!
Yeah, I know. But I'll tell you something, though. I'm 61 years old, as I said, and your show was about roller derby today.
Yes.
And I friended her on Facebook and everything, and I, well, I guess, you know, without sounding arrogant, I guess I consider myself a roller derby expert because I started out, wow, it's been a long ride. I'll tell you, I started out in the late 60s, you know, a neighbor of mine introduced me to it, and then I finally went to it in Madison Square Garden here. And again, I saw, you know, the roller derby, and then they did, you know, exhibition games, and then we had our own team, the New York Chiefs. And then I saw on television the roller games. Now, the roller derby, you know, the skaters are equally talented and everything. That's no problem. The only thing is that the roller games were more theatrical, and they didn't have the pivot helmet, you know, when the it was, you know, like I said, it was more, you know, more competitive. But all the skaters are great. A lot of the skaters are even from Brooklyn. And
what was the team, Butch, what was the team then? Was it the Bombers? Were they the Brooklyn Bombers? Or?
Well, when I went here, first of all, it was the we got our own team here because, like I said, it did so well that it became regional in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. We had the New York Chiefs because there used to be a team. I was born in 53, but even this is even before my time, though. But they had a Chiefs team in the the 50s and everything. And then the New York Chiefs came here, and they skated against teams like San Francisco Bay Bombers, right, the Midwest Pioneers, the Northeast Braves, and then they brought back the Jolters and the and the Chicago, the Cincinnati Jolters, Midwest Jolters, and then the Midwest Pioneers. And I even went and I met Walt Harris in person, and I even sent away. That's the one thing I didn't save, right? Because I'm a hoarder. I save everything. As I'm a baseball historian and everything. You know, I was going into broadcasting, and I've been on the Boomer and Carton show here on WFAN, among other things, you know, as a sports historian about a year and a half ago. And, of course, like I said, I saved everything except the Street King skates, the roller derby official skates. But I have one of those plastic jamming helmets I have. You know, I saved. They gave it away. They gave me souvenirs. And I have all kinds of, you know, newspaper clippings. I promised Cindy that I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to scan the old Gazette Center. I have the old Warrior yearbooks and the old Chief yearbooks. And the book, A Very Simple Game, I have the book. And I saw, of course, Kansas City Bomb with Raquel Welch. But I saw Derby with Charlie O'Connell and everything. And I even had a friend later on, Pat Susco. He went to roller derby. He was selling hockey equipment and then, you know, different sporting goods. And then he went into weightlifting, et cetera, et cetera. But he tried out for the roller derby. And I went up there when I was 19 years old, 1972, to Norwalk, Connecticut. I saw the roller derby school. And one of the people who made it from there was Pokey Truman. And again, like I said, it was really great. And I even spoke to Charlie O'Connell and Leo Seltzer on the Marv Albert show, like also in the early 70s. And recently I called up the son, Jerry Seltzer. I spoke to him. And Chet Kopick used to do it. And then I friended Judy Arnold, of course. And and I friended, as previously stated, I friended Cindy McCoy. The only problem is she's older than I am, but she's much more beautiful than I am. And she skated, though, before my time, though, you know. But as I was saying, then they kept bringing it back, but people kept lost interest in it, and they didn't really revive it, you know, properly and everything, and they combined it with the roller games rules and everything, and that I didn't go for. Like I said, the roller derby was more competitive. It wasn't as theatrical, you know, as the but the skaters were just as good. And I'm sure that Cindy McCoy, she was coming on your show, she could have skated in the roller derby as well as the roller games. That's not, you know, that was no problem, as I said. And a lot of the people came from Charlie O'Connell, who was Mr. Roller Derby, the star of roller. He's a native New Yorker, as is Buddy Atkinson Sr. And, of course, his son later on skated, Bob Woodbury, Big Bad Bob Woodbury, Ronnie Robinson, the son of Sugar Ray. Pete Boyd is a native New Yorker. Tony Roman, who used to battle Mike Gammon for the scoring title, he's a native New Yorker. Frankie Macedo, I think Dolores Holmes, Claudia Harvey. I'm telling you, we have Lenny Chickenman Silverman, Vinny Gandolfo, I met. He was, I think he passed away. He was, with the Eastern Warrior team, he was from Brooklyn. So Kathy Reed was the captain of the New England Braves at one time. And then she... I think she was from Brooklyn, so we have a Brooklyn following here. And I'm telling you, it really drew in a lot of crowds and everything. And like I said, I mean, it was so great. And Gary Powers, what I think I should do is, though I don't want to give up this stuff because, you never know when I might like to look it up. I'm not a collector. I'm more of a, historian. And
sure.
Gary Powers runs out of his house here in Brooklyn, about 6 miles away from me. He has his house as a museum, he'll give tours and everything. And I was thinking that maybe I should, give him some of my stuff, a photocopy, and let him put it on display. And Curtis Lewa, who started the Guardian Angels, if you're familiar with New York here,
yes.
he was a big role there. But, yeah, he one time spoke about, Joan Weston. And Ann Cavello even grew up near the Brooklyn Navy Yard. And even though she was the villainess, in real life she was a very nice person, very attractive Italian lady. Yeah, no, they play a role, Hey. I mean, Jimmy Cagney was a gangster, Edward G. Roth, and yet in real life they were nice people, So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. They played. And, of course, Sandy Dunn was wonderful. She was our women's captain. And I'm telling you, it was, like I said, it was great. In those days, I think the top ticket was like, I think about $7, which was, in those days, maybe like today, I don't even think you get a cup of coffee for $7. I don't drink coffee, right? And then they revived it in 1987 with the Roller Mania. And you see guys like, the guys who started out as rookies, like James Paul and Bill Hill, they later on became coaches or captains. And then the women started, taking over the women's, being the women's
right.
captain of the women's field. And I'm telling mm-hmm. you, like I said, and it's really great. Like I said, what they did, I think, Brian, is that they improved it because, for example, they had just like in football, like they added the forward pass and they had to change it because at first it was like it was monitored in 1935 when I was just a thought. In 1935 they had like the 7-day bike races, and then what they did is I think I see some of the old films here. They have like 3 points, 1 point, and then they started in helmets and they started, to get interest in it. And the way it was, like I said, late 60s, early 70s, again, like I said, it was wonderful. And the announcers are great. I'm telling you, like I said, Walt Harris, I met him in person, a heck of an announcer. Before that, Brian, it was Ken Nidell, but again, that's before my time, in the 40s and whatever. And then, like I said, Walt Harris was, he's about 90 years old, I think he's still alive, and he was the voice of roller derby. And then the house announcers, Don Jury, Ken Councilman, and all those guys. And then you go down to Philadelphia, you had Ed Darien, who was the house announcer, and Elmer Anderson, an old skater who passed away. Well, they say that he was a concert pianist, he was this, he was
mm-hmm.
a very talented
mm-hmm.
man, and an actor, Dick Lane, who played in the Jackie Robinson story. He played, when Jackie Robinson played himself, he played the Montreal manager, and he was like a character actor. But then I did wrestling, and he did roller derby, I think, for the T-Birds, and I guess Cindy, who skated
mm-hmm.
on T-Birds, she would probably know about him, and Bill
sure.
Harris. And it was really, again, like
well,
I said, she passed away, Judy Sawinski. I mean, these,
yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, it was really, like I said, it was really wonderful, and again, like I said, that's a thing that's an era that, just like the old cars that were made by tanks or when gasoline was 30 cents a gallon, you'll never
mm-hmm.
see those days again.
No, never. And but you know what? I may be wrong, but I have a feeling you're a fan. Am I right?
I would say definitely so, right? And I always wanted to do play-by-play and get into broadcasting, as I said, because, I know people back east, the late, great Jack Speck, the disc jockeys and people like that we knew back here. And I was going to go to, school to train for it, but I couldn't, I can even call a roller derby game if I had it. Not many people
sure.
do that. But that's
sure.
hard. But it's really, again, like I said, it's really great, like I said before. And the skaters, they had the camaraderie from here. They were friendly. They had to travel and set up the tracks and everything. And although whether it's fake or not, you still have to know what you're doing. You have to know how to fall. And I
sure.
saw it at the training center. You saw people
mm-hmm.
have, from falling on a Masonite track, you have, like, burns on your arms. I guess it would be like rug burns or whatever, that's
what
well,
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
and it was really fantastic. I'm telling you, and like I said, as I said,
sounds like you. I
yeah.
know it sounds like you enjoy it. Butch, would you like a copy of Cindy's book?
Oh, I would love it, as I said, because I have the copy of Very Simple Game. I have pictures of Charlie O'Connell, you know, two of them I have, and I have pictures I saved at Eastern Warriors. I'm telling you, lately I'm becoming a hoarder. I'm saving everything. I'm telling you, come to my house. Right? I'm telling you, see, I'm telling, no, this is the truth. I have stuff. I'm not a dirty person, a clean person, but I have stuff. I have stuff. You know, because like I said, baseball, football, softball,
sure.
Ice hockey. I have stuff in my book. I have stuff piled on the couch. You can't even sit on the couch. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Old media guys, I'm telling you. I mean, I travel 110 miles to see a softball. And I must say this, when in my younger days, when I went I saw on the Spanish station the roller games. We took vacations anyway. I saw the roller games in Atlantic City. New Jersey, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, of course, the Spectrum and stuff like that, and of course, Madison Square Garden for the and then they had Interleague and everything, and, you know, I guess maybe for competition like Leo Seltzer and even his son Jerry Seltzer, he said that they kind of knocked the roller games because they did the roller games that they think that they tear the place apart and this and that, that's that. So, that was theatrical, but the skaters are good because they interchanged, and like I said, and I know that Cindy, you know, like I said, she could skate anyway, you know. It's just if your boss tells you to do something, just like you announce, if you like rock and roll, your boss tells you to play classic, you know, you have to, whoever signed your paycheck, that's the thing.
We have to get your energy up. So if you were to go out on a date with Cindy, what kind of date would it be, Butch? You and Cindy. Where would you take Cindy?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, I have to be careful what I eat because, unfortunately, I have, you know, the type 2 diabetes and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But I would probably take her out maybe to a nice Italian restaurant or Chinese dinner or something like that. Or I would take her to a sporting event even, believe it or not, or to a barbecue or, you know, or just just sit on the boardwalk and look, you know, the breeze in her face.
Yeah.
Maybe go horseback riding in my younger days. You know, it was really great because she's a beautiful girl, a nice personality, and she really, and Judy Arnold now is an evangelist and everything, and Ronnie Raines, they used to call him Psycho. I think he's an evangelist, and he married a beautiful Australian lady, Colleen Morrell. So that's the important thing, you know, is that, and Bob Woodbury, who's big man, Bob Woodbury, he did an interview here with Al Troutwick of MSG, Madison Square Garden, and he explained the rules, and he really sounded like a real gentleman. And as I said, I met Richard Brown, Otis Williams, who, everybody says Mike Gammon was better than him, of course, but Mike Gammon even skated with the Warriors at one time. And it's really wonderful, I'm telling you.
You are a fan. You are great. But you would treat her like a queen and a lady if you took her out.
I would definitely treat her like a lady because I'm 61 years old. I would open a car door for her and hold her chair and hold her coat, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I would pay because I don't believe in this Dutch tree. I believe the man pays for the woman.
But you got to be careful, Butch, because if you pull a chair out to Cindy, she'll get that chair and hit you over the back with it. You know what I mean?
No, I hold the chair for her. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Make sure. You got to be careful with Cindy.
And there's another lady, Cindy Ogden, who got confused, but they're also both very pretty ladies. And it's just wonderful. And like I said, these people, our life is just like baseball life. You know, they really to travel and set up the track and everything. And Mike Gammon used to do that too, and Gil Orozco, you know, and find a place to travel. And the gas shortage killed it, and he had to sell it off. But he got into other things, Jerry Seltzer. So we sold it to Griffiths, and then they kind of, you know, screwed up. And Vinny Gandolfo said, you know, they screwed up and they made it more theatrical. And, you want the pivot helmet. It's like a tight end who could block a jammer.
You do.
Yeah, it was wonderful, you know.
But,
I loved it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Butch, guess who's here?
Who?
Guess who just came in?
Cindy.
Yes. And we have a theme song for her. We have a little surprise for her, you know what I mean? She's beautiful. She can skate. Yeah, she can drink beer like the rest of us. But we have to bring in her correctly. Here we go. This is what her teammates used to say this to Cindy in a locker room before they go out. They all get around Cindy, and before they take the track, her teammates used to sing this to Cindy to get her hyper. Listen to the words, because she is the Derby Queen. Oh, gentlemen, the queen of Waller, the legend, Cindy McCoy. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Brian.
Look at
That's
you.
Awesome.
Oh, look at
you.
You
outdid yourself.
I'm looking at the studio right now, Cindy. I haven't seen this studio packed since Kelly offered beer, free beer. They've got a lot of people waiting to talk to you.
What about that,
awesome.
Kelly?
Good job, Kelly. Yay. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Kelly.
There are so
I'm
many
glad
people
you made
here.
It.
I'm glad
Hello?
She made it, too. There are so
Hi.
Many people here. And let me tell you something about Cindy before we go. Of course, you know Cindy is a roller derby legend and the only woman to be voted as a professional. She was the only woman to be voted in as a professional while on the L.A. T-Birds, which I did watch, as a rookie queen at the age of 16 years old. When we were 16 years old, we weren't thinking about rolling on a track, hitting people with our elbows and kicking their ass. Cindy was. She used
wow.
to take those little dolls, put skates on them, and burn them. Cindy was training. And she was 16. And she skated before a packed houses in U.S. and Australia at the time. At the time when the sport commanded primetime coverage and legions of teeny bopper fans. Cindy is the one and only actual roller game queen to be voted in by the fans in 1966. During her farewell week, she was presented by her coach and the National Skating Derby Incorporated. Cindy has a book, her best-selling book, called Sports Biography. Thank you, Kelly, for the writing. Cindy's best-selling sports biography, Hell on Wheels, is now out in paperback and audiobook with Amazon.com and is now available with Barnes & Noble and e-books. Roller Derby Queen, the story of legendary roller game skater Cindy McCoy. I love that name, Cindy McCoy. Inspired by real events, it covers her unique skating career, influenced by the underlying theme of family, and Cindy needs to belong to. This is a story of inspiration, transformation, that rekindles a human spirit, and it's here now, live. The spirit is alive. I'm Brian, the Hammer Jackson Show. You're joining us at 12:30 Pacific Time, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. Call in, and even the traffic is coming in because they know Cindy's on the air. Call in and join us, 646-595-3032. Cindy is giving away a couple of books, I think, and we're sponsored by Max Ivy, Midway Marketplace, helping people buy, sell, and trade new and used equipment, concessions, and confection equipment with free appraisals. And, of course, MVP Productions hosting the IWMAs, which is the Independent World Music Awards, September 21st at the Hard Rock Casino in Biloxi, Mississippi. Special thanks to Larry Russ, former keyboard boardist, vocalist with Iron Butterfly, currently working on the Musicians Against Abuse Benefit Tour. And we want to give a shout-out to I'll remember, but you got my shout out. All right, everybody. It's time to let Cindy talk. And they've been here waiting for you, Cindy.
I've been waiting to talk to you, too.
All right, Chicky.
Yeah.
You're in my ring now, Chicky.
I know it. You're ready to go. I can tell.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I pumped up. Cindy, I'm going to open up the floor. Usually I would talk to you, but you got so many people waiting to talk to you. And I'm going to go by my friend, my bro, Efron. Efron, meet Cindy McCoy, the queen.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Efron?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for being here in the presence of royalty. When I heard that you were going to be on the show, it was so exciting to get a chance to talk to a living legend and say congratulations for all your accomplishments, your book, everything that you've done. I mean, you are truly an inspiration to a ton of people, and it's just wonderful to be here with you and to hear everything that you've done, everything that you're going to do, but more importantly, to know that there's always an opportunity for all of us to dream the dream and make it come true, and you are an example of that, so thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And my motto that I have learned over the years is never, never quit. You know, never give up, never give up, never, never give up, like Sir Winston Churchill said. And I think if we all follow that, we can accomplish our dreams.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I remember growing up every Sunday evening, you know, watching roller derby. And the purpose of me being able to stay up late on Sunday evenings was because my grandmother was a huge fan of roller derby, and
Hello?
My grandparents spoke very, very little English. So the purpose of me being there was to enjoy the roller derby, but to be able to translate for them what the commentator was saying and to narrate the story. But, of course, my grandmother was such a big fan that she was able to tell me what was going on even before me being able to translate. So it was my grandmother telling me exactly what was happening on that TV, and she spoke little English. And reading your biography, I found out that you are from Colorado Springs, Colorado, and that's where she was born, and that's where she's from also. So now I know why she really loved roller derby. There was a connection.
Oh, that's
now,
incredible.
There's
a Blueberry. Yay.
Yeah, and she used to whoop my butt, too. But there was a reason behind that. You know, in looking and reading at your information, reading your biography, and you know, reading all your accomplishments, you know, I have a question for you. If there's one thing that you want us all to remember Cindy McCord by, something that really stands out throughout your illustrious career and everything that you've accomplished, what would be the one thing that you would leave for us to say, you know what, I knew her from this?
Wow, that's a big one. What I would want you to remember me as a real person, that I skated from my heart, I did everything from my heart, and I always tried to do I tried to follow my heart through my life. In spite of everything that I went through, and the losses and all of the negative sides, I tried to live with my heart and go forward and not dwell on it. Because I go, you can do it. You can do it. Never, never shortchange yourself. Always set your goals. Keep your eye on the prize and go for it. Don't let anyone put you down.
Thank you, Cindy. I'm going to go run. Thank you, Cindy. Now I'm going to go run with all that energy you just gave me. Thank you so much, and we love you.
Thank
and I
you.
Want to thank you, Efren, for killing off our guest, Cindy, because now we're in a eulogy.
Well, sorry about that.
I know. We had her for a moment. Efren killed her. Thank you, Efren. And
but God bless him and his mom being from there and telling him about the game. That's great.
I know. He's one hell of a guy. He's my bro. And Cindy, we have somebody. Oh, we got so many people. Before I go into an interview with you, I gotta let them say hello because they're not here for me. Here we go, Mr. Chip Stanley, everybody. Chip, meet Cindy.
Hey,
hi,
Cindy.
Chip.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Chip?
I'm doing great. Doing great. I enjoyed spending time with you and Kelly on Facebook today.
That
and,
was great.
Yeah, and got time to look up a little bit of your history, and I can't touch the first guy that was on there by any means, but I used to, as a kid, you know, watch roller derby, and, you know, me and my brother would have to get up after my folks had gone to bed and go downstairs because our TV wouldn't pick up the channel in our room. So, and as a matter of fact, I know that I saw you skate after looking at some of the older pictures, but you were awesome and you've accomplished many things, and I think that's wonderful. I'm looking forward to reading your book, and congratulate you on your success and accomplishments, and really a pleasure just to speak with you.
It's my pleasure to speak with you, Chip, and thank you so much for everything and all your support.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I support Brian's show every day on Facebook with
thank
Kelly.
Thank you, sir.
And,
thank you, sir.
you know, I spread it around, and because he always has good topics. And today was this is the first time I've ever called in, though, because I wanted to, you know, speak to Cindy, and I told Kelly I'd call in. But I'm really looking forward to reading your book, and I really enjoyed watching you skate. And those were such entertaining times. I mean, people today don't realize what they missed.
That's what they didn't realize what they'd missed. And TV was then was just coming of age, and, you know, we didn't have professional football or anything like that, and it was roller derby and wrestling on the weekends. So.
Well, and basically it was black
baseball.
And white, you know. And,
yeah, black and white.
And people just really don't realize what they missed back in those days. And to have somebody that I could speak to that was successful from that time is an honor. And so I'm very happy to speak with you, and looking very forward to reading your book.
All right, Chip. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. You're certainly welcome. And, Kelly, I appreciate everything that you do for me on Facebook. And I will keep, Brian, I'll keep promoting you.
Thank you, sir. And thank you, Chip, and I see your promotions. And you're one hell of a guy. Thank you so much for your support.
Not a problem,
yeah,
and I'd like
you.
To say God bless all of y'all, and also God bless all of our military.
Oh, yeah. Amen, brother.
Amen
God bless
to that.
All
and,
right.
Yeah, Chip. Thank you. Oh, Chip, you already have the book. So I was told that you and Cindy and Kelly were talking, and Cindy.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, got the address to send to Cindy.
Cindy hooked me up earlier, so so she's a sweetheart. She's a sweetheart, her and Kelly both. And, again, you know, it's a pleasure to talk with you guys, and I'm probably, you know, I'm way over here on the East Coast on the beach, but that first caller felt like that was an audition for a job. I was in the car business 28 years, and I don't know if I talk that much.
Well,
but anyway,
good.
God bless all of you, and it's a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to getting your book, Cindy.
Wow. You'll get it soon.
Okay. Y'all have a great day.
Thank
you,
sir.
Chip, you too.
Thank you, Chip. Thank you for everything. And, Cindy,
right.
I don't know how many books you have available, but I'm hoping you have one for my good friend Efren Valdez, who was just speaking to you earlier.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Cool. Then maybe he'll start sharing my stuff. I'm only kidding.
Well, he definitely has to have a book. And I have, I think, about 10 of them available for people for today.
Really? Uh-oh.
Yeah,
well,
that's awesome.
I got a feeling your number one fan's coming up. Here he goes. Butch, are you ready? Here we go. He's going to talk to Cindy. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Butch, meet Cindy. Hang
wow,
on
I'm
to
back.
Your hat, Cindy. You're
oh,
back, buddy, and Cindy's in the house. There she is.
Oh, great. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you missed my story before, Cindy, but I guess
I heard your story. I heard your story, but you were awesome. You're great.
Oh, about how I started roller derby, going to Madison Square Garden and going down to Philadelphia and Atlantic City and Cherry Hill. And oy vey, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid you're traveling over the place. But it's a shame, Cindy, I missed you skating because I think you stopped in 67, right?
Yeah, I was in the late 67.
I can't believe you're older than me, but I'm not as beautiful as you. I'm telling you, you're fantastic, yeah. But I'll tell you something, but as I said, Cindy, you know, the difference is, you know, the roller derby, but you, as I said, you could have skated in the roller derby or roller games because the talent was there. It's just that roller games was more theatrical, you know? Like, you didn't have the pivot helmet, you know what I'm saying, and all, you know, it was different. But they interchanged a lot of the skaters, and like I said before, a lot of skaters came from Brooklyn and everything, and, you know, if you can skate, you can skate. And it's a shame that I missed it. Maybe I was born too late, but I'm sure that, you know, but maybe even after you quit, I'm sure you saw. Well, I wish you could. I wish I could have met you at Madison Square Garden and sat next to you and watched the Roller Derby. It was a big following, you know. The Chiefs were really in the early '70s, and like I said, and of course, the Eastern Warriors, and it was just fantastic. And like I said, you heard what I said, all the people I spoke to, Walt Harris, you know, all the announcers and everything, and the people I met and everything, and it's really great. And like I said, I have so much stuff. Cindy, you've been so nice to me. What I'm going to do is, I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to go to the library and I'm going to scan those old gazettes, you know, and send them to you, you know, the 25-cent gazettes with the lineups and the scorecard on the back, and I think you would really like it. Like I said, so I'll try to do it because you've been so nice to me and everything, you know, it's the least I could do for you. And like I said before, and I'd love to read your book.
Oh, I hope you will. We will be sending you a book, I'm sure.
Oh, you have a copy for me?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that'll be great because I'm on a fixed income.
Oh, wait, but Butch, there's a condition.
What?
You have to sing, since it's Memorial Day, you have to sing the national anthem, just a little bit.
Well, I don't know how to sing, but I could try.
Sure, and Cindy can be the judge. Okay, let's hear you sing.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, oh, so proudly we...
Pretty good, okay.
Okay,
right, we'll go good. To the judges. Okay.
But it's really fantastic, and like I said before, and it proved that along, you know, it's like, of course, along with Cindy and Ann Gavell and Joan West and our women's captain, Sandy Dunn, Margie Laszlo used to do modeling, they say that, I'm telling you, the girls are as talented as they are beautiful, and it's just wonderful, you know, and it's a shame that we lost a lot of people, passed away. I know Ann Cavello, she was a villainess, but in real life, she was very nice. In fact, Cindy, I meant to ask you, when you skated, were you the villainess or were you the good girl?
I was on the home team, and I always behaved myself, and Ann Covello was my coach down under for a while, our team captain.
Right, and I met, Margaret, I know the Australian Kangaroos, they came, I met them in Cherry Hill, and Ann Covello, in real life, she grew up around the Brooklyn Navy Yard, she really is a very nice lady in real life.
Yes, she was very nice.
And Judy Arnold, of course, was nice, and Joni and all those people. And, again, like I said, and Pat Susco later on, he joined the Roller Derby. You know, he used to sell me sporting goods equipment and everything when they tried to revive it. But those were the days, just like I was saying, like 30 cents a gallon for gas and those cars they made like tanks. We'll never see those days again. And it's such a shame. But we have, you know, such great memories. And it's really, and Ronnie Raines also was a nice guy. I think he also was an evangelist a little bit. And he married Colleen Morrell. And I know one of your teammates, Dave Cox, in the early 70s, they called him a hippie. And him and Bill Urquhart.
That's true. Butch, hold on. We have one more guest. Hold on, Butch, don't leave. But we have one more guest, and she's in a hurry. She wanted to say hello to Cindy because she's on her job on a break. Hold on, Butch, okay?
And I'll give you my address. Yes.
You'll get it. Yeah, I'll get it for you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is India. India, hello. You're on your break at work, huh?
I am. I stepped away from my desk. How are you?
Pretty good. Meet Cindy McCoy.
Cindy, it is wonderful to speak with a living legend. How are you today?
I am great today. How are you today?
I heard, Chris called me. He sent me a message, and he called me, and he said, you need to talk to this lady. Do you know who she is? I said, oh, my gosh, she was one of Leo Seltzer's original girls.
Yeah, so I pulled some Big Brother strings, and I'm totally awesome. Were you telling him how great I am, India? Oh, just kidding.
Yes, absolutely.
Welcome aboard, Hammer. Hello, Cindy McAvoy, and hi.
Everybody,
I'm
welcome, Chris Junkie. How you doing,
friend? Well, you know what, India, I'm going to let you take it from here. I'm just on to try to act cool like I was a jerk, Brother Hammer, I tell you. And this is I'm trying to make it up to her. She knows. So, India, India knew. She knows all about you, Cindy. So I'm going to sit back and listen. I'm blown away. This is a great time. By the way, India, you owe me so bad.
I have no idea how much I owe you. Oh, my gosh. No, this is fabulous. I'm just absolutely in awe. I am thrilled to actually get to speak with you. So thank you so very much for taking time.
And she's a team captain, too.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
I do roller derby now. I currently do. I actually coach juniors, and I play for a team here in Washington State. And you guys really, really paved the way. I am so thankful for that because this sport has brought so many young people together. So thank you all so very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, so many people, they have, in the past, have given so much to the game, to the people, and to young people, and I hope to be able to continue carrying that torch and try to convince people to stay safe.
Actually, you know, the only thing I'm worried about now, Hammer, is now that India is, you know, team captain, is I was a real jerk to her, so I'm lucky I live a couple of states away because I'm sure she's ready for some payback. this is a great skill. I'm never going roller skating with you, India. I think now I know what I'm in for, and I know I deserve it.
Well, she's the true Chris, and you deserve what you get, and I'm rooting for India. India, would you like to have a book?
I would. Thank you so very much.
Oh, not that easy.
It's okay. I actually shot Chris with a BB gun, so it's okay.
Oh, okay. You got a book. What do you think?
Okay, you bring it. You know what?
Good enough
Hammer?
For me. What do you think, Cindy?
You know what? Yeah, you should give her two. Sign it twice. Hammer, you also have somebody else who's right by me, an old friend of the show, Mr. Bill Murray. Not the same, but yeah, Bill Murray from you remember the China White days when you were there? Bill Murray and I were doing some yard work, and he said, you know, he wanted to say hello. Could I later on maybe have Bill Murray say hello to the Hammer Show? Not the same Bill Murray from Groundhog Day. You know who I'm talking about, right, Hammer?
I do know Bill Murray, and he was a good friend, and he still is a good friend on Facebook and China White Days. He's one hell of a guy. I miss him. And, yes, if he can hang on for a little bit, I just want to – I would love to say hello to him. He's a good friend. I still consider him a good friend. Indy. So – India. I'm sorry. So, India.
We called her that when she was 10.
So, Cindy, what do you think we should make her do to get your precious book?
Well, I think she's doing everything that she needs to do, and she deserves one.
You are such a pushover, and you call yourself
Cindy,
a roller derby queen. Oh, India, I'll tell you what. You have to tell us a joke.
Oh, I'll tell you a joke.
Great, yeah. Don't use any of mine.
I don't know any jokes. Oh, my gosh. Kids tell me jokes, and they're ridiculous jokes. It's usually knock knock, who's there? Watermelon. So
okay. Oh, wow.
I'm around little kids all the time.
Could you imagine what Thanksgiving dinner was like in our preteen years?
Oh,
I mean, can you imagine
God.
This? You know, don't even have a Donald Sterling joke. I mean, come on.
I think you just said it.
Oh gosh.
But all right, Cindy. Knock. Who's
I have
there?
A question for Cindy.
Who's there? India.
Watermelon.
India.
Watermelon who? Hello?
Watermelon smash is what the usual answer is.
Oh. Cindy, what do you think of that joke?
They're 6 years old. I have 6 year old friend and they tell really bad jokes.
I think, you know, India has a serious question, actually a serious question for you, Cindy. I know she does.
You
do? All right, well then, go ahead. Go ahead.
Cindy, do you still keep in contact with Cliff Butler or any of the other people, Jerry Seltzer at all?
I don't keep in contact with any of them. I am in contact with John Hall, who was my coach and mentor and trainer when I was younger. And Loretta Iodine Behrens, I keep in contact with her somewhat. And then up north, I keep in talk with Jim Fitzpatrick, who is coaching a team up there on the Bombers in San Francisco, and a few of the team members I keep track of them, but I don't bother them because they've got other things to do than listen to me.
Do you plan on going to RollerCon or anything?
And then, some of the flat track girls that have started skating, I have a lot of them follow me, and I watch them and watch their games, and I keep getting excited, hoping that they can, you know, keep things going. And it is always inspiring to me to see their excitement on the track, and I'm like, you go, girls, keep it up, keep going.
Absolutely. Now, do you intend on going to RollerCon or anything, or are you teaching at all? Are you coaching, doing any type of instruction?
Right now, I'm not doing any kind of training or coaching or anything like that. I am working on trying to get my film produced, and it's on my life story, Roller Queen, and trying to get that out there to try and help promote the skating and get the interest stimulated for all the teams that are going now. I think that would be a big boost to them, and encourage young people to never give up on their dreams. So that's what I'm involved with right now. And then I was also nominated to the Colorado Springs Sports Hall of Fame. I was nominated on the first year selection. And I'll know later this year if I make it into the Colorado Springs Sports Hall of Fame. And then I hope that with all of this, keep it rolling to where maybe roller derby could get eventually someday be in the Olympics.
USARS is actually working on that. USARS is actually pushing for that very, very hard. That's not a bad thing at all. That's a really, really good thing. I've skated USARS. So now, and then one more question. I'm sorry. I apologize for inundating you.
Jesus, monopolized the internet. I need some attention here, India. And not to mention, India, my girlfriend's niece also is she's in roller derby, and Mrs. Special Someone is actually listening to Hammer. I got some real pressure, but India, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine.
All right, now, this is what we were like. See, Hammer, this is where I get all the interview qualities, so back to you, too.
Oh, sure. I guess me.
She did my homework.
I was actually going to ask you specifically about that, about going into the Olympics and how you feel about the number of leagues around the country and around the world. I mean, the sport's grown tremendously, so there's so many leagues sprouting up all over.
There are a lot of leagues springing up all over, and if they can consolidate and be able to meet the requirements for the Olympic team, you know, and be strong, and if we, you know, I think that's wonderful. There's a lot of different people from a lot of walks of life that are involved with this, you know, people with degrees, you know, careers other than the skating. And they're working hard to make this a reality, and I have so much respect for them, and I am back there trying to think ways that would help promote the game.
Mm-hmm. There
Absolutely.
You go.
Well, thank you so much.
Andy, I want to thank you so much. It was great questions, and thank you, Chris Yonke. I can see the resemblance in the family. Nice question.
I was going to say, I would love to take credit for that, but it's the other way around. She did my homework up until I was about 13. That's when my grades started to slip. So, thank you, India, for that. I wish I would have known you in college, but, you know, you were doing your own thing. So, you know, yeah, obviously, I'm really glad she got to talk to you, Cindy, because, she's a very busy mother and also works, you know, a lot. And so this is, her dedication to the sport was great even for somebody like me to watch. In Seattle and now here. So what a treat. Now India, I can do as many horrible things as, you know, an older brother would do and get away with it, right? That we're cool again, right?
Oh, yeah, no problem. You can bludgeon me. I don't care.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, no.
That's right, folks. You heard it here. Well, she has, you know, you have three children or four? You think I know this.
You're terrible. I have four.
See, okay, so a bludgeoning actually would be welcome at this point. We're cool with that, right? But, you know, I actually am going to have to sign off. Cindy, my last thing, the reason Hammer knows me is a gentleman who rolls on two wheels, or four actually, in a wheelchair. His name is Gabriel Cordell. I was part of his mission to roll across the United States last year at rollwithme.org, and I come on the show regularly. We're going to Israel, and he didn't get a chance to listen. So whenever we tune in, not only was this special for my stepsister, India, but as for me as well, because Gabriel is rolling his four wheels in Israel starting in September. So I'm really glad that you, talked to my stepsister, India. You asked great questions. You should take my job. The pay rate's awesome. Ask Hammer. Hammer, I'm going to hold on. You want to talk to Bill? I'm going to flip back to listener. So, Cindy, you have a wonderful rest of the show. And, Hammer, when you want to talk to Bill, just let him know, and I'll pass the mic over to him.
Sounds great, and I look forward to talking to him. We're going to bring we see people coming in the room, and thank you, Chris Yonke, and thank you, India. And thank you, Butch is still here. Hang on, Butch. I know, Butch. Hang in there, buddy. I want to talk to you. Cindy McCoy. I almost started to say India. Wow. I want to talk to Cindy McCoy for a little bit and remind everybody why she's here. Cindy has a book out called Hell on Wheels. And this book
You know, I don't like to know so much information. When Kelly tells me we have a guest, I'll say, give me your name, give me whoever's on the guest, give me a little thing, but I don't want to know anything. But Kelly was so excited, I almost read your whole book by Kelly. Oh, my gosh, she's this and this and this and this and this. And I go, I don't want to know. Cindy, let's go back from the beginning because, you know, when I come on a show like this and when I do a show, I can go two ways. I can go humorous or I can go serious. I do want to go serious with you for a minute. How was your childhood?
My childhood was challenging. From the beginning of my sister had cerebral palsy, and so my mother had to donate most of her time to her. So I had to learn to entertain myself and go out and do things and learn to be independent. And then my parents divorced, and at that time, that was unheard of or acceptable or anything, and I was very ashamed of that, and I blamed myself for years that, you know, that it was my fault. What did I do? What did I do wrong? And not until I got older did I understand why divorces happen. And so I had to make a lot of my own decisions, and I learned early on that for every decision or choice you make, there's a consequence, so you better make the right decisions, you know.
Was there abuse in your home when you were younger?
No. My parents, I got spanked twice, and that was because I pulled my sister's hair, and I got my dad across my fist, and I'm like, okay, attention, I understand. You know? It didn't take much to convince me. No, you don't do that. So, respect,
yeah.
You know, I grew up where kids, you didn't talk unless you were spoken to, basically, in my family. And so I had to invent a lot of things and, you know, creativity things to keep myself occupied and moving forward.
Okay.
And but it made me a stronger person in the long run, but it took me a long time to work through the hurt and anger and shame. And
sure.
That's what I think young people today have to understand, that they're an individual person and they should have their own dreams and never give up on them and not be held back, because don't waste your time on feeling ashamed and trying to run from your life, you know, try to move forward.
True. How did your life change at age 16?
At age 16, I was skating professionally on the L.A. T-Birds on the international team down under. At the age of 16, I received the Roller Derby Queen and Rookie of the Year Award through the National Skating Derby. And my coach, Ralphie Valadares, at the time, and this was voted in by the Australian fans. And this is a promotion that they only did once. They didn't do it again, so that gives me the status of the only one that ever received those two awards at the same time as a professional young 16-year-old.
Did you have your family support at 16 years old to go into professional roller skating?
I begged and pleaded with my mother at the time. We were living in Southern California, and that's how I got introduced to the game. I wasn't happy with the school system in California because it was like repeat for me. And I couldn't get into any of the advanced classes because they were all full. And I found, and she was living with a guy that I didn't like at all. He was a pervert as far as I was concerned. And so the roller games, the skating and the training gave me an outlet, gave me something to focus on, helped me get strong, and I promised my mother if she would let me skate, and I went to amateur status, then pro status, and then I was offered the chance to go down under, and I promised her that if she would let me go down, skate in Australia, that I would come back and finish school, and that's the one promise that I made to my mother, and that's the one promise I did keep, and I went on to college and paid myself through and got my 4-year degree.
Now, were you close? Well, that's pretty damn good. Now, I assume you live with your mother and you live with a guy who you called a pervert.
My mother was living with the pervert.
Oh, your mom was living with the pervert. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was.
Mother's Day must have been hell.
No, I wanted to strangle and throttle him. You know, I was ready to take him out. So it was either let me go or I'm going to kill him, you know. No problem.
So that tells me, were you close to your father at any time?
In my younger years, yes, I was very, very close to my father. I looked up to him. I respected him. We went fishing. Of course, that only lasted once when I got the hook in my thumb. That was the end of my fishing career. But he bought me my first bicycle and, you know, those monumental things that meant a lot. And my skates my mother bought for me. And that meant a lot to me. But, and he taught me about, you know, planting and, you know, how to take care of plants in the yard and things like that and how to climb trees and, you know, that young, but that all went away with the divorce. And then he came back and was in and out of my life here and there, but we were never close. And then and when he got older and had to have heart surgery and he wasn't doing real well, I went and moved him back to Colorado from Kansas and took care of him until he died in 1999.
Mm-hmm. So you made peace with your father at least.
Yeah, I made peace with both of them. I mean, I took care of my mother who died of cancer until mm-hmm. she died. And she didn't get to see me graduate from college because she died of lung cancer.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I took care of
both of them.
You're a good person. Now you're 16 years old. You're in a roller derby. You're in a professional sport. You're 16 in professional sports. These ladies were not ladylike, were they? When you walked into that locker room and you saw these professional people who've been there for months and years, they're professional, how did they treat you as a 16-year-old kid, pretty, petite, and you're going in there? How were you treated?
Well, for the most part, they just, oh, that's the kid, and they just kind of push me aside, you know, like that. and they were hard-nosed, you know, it's like, yeah, we'll see what she can do. And mm-hmm. they didn't make it easy. They didn't make you feel kind. I just kept my mouth shut, and all I could think of, my heart's beating out of my chest. I'm terrified. I thought, man, if I screw up and I don't hold my end up, I'll never get to skate again. And so I just worked hard at it, and I tried not to make any of them angry at me. I thought, I don't want to get killed. But, you know, when we were traveling as a team, we all kind of worked together. We went out and we ate together when we first went down until we all kind of got settled in to our own enormous things, you know, and taking care of our personal business. And
mm-hmm. You know what I am.
But
you know
I never came close to any of them. You know,
okay.
I was always the outsider.
Really?
But
who was
Ann Cavello and Tony Gandera were probably, and some of them in the training school, but when I'm traveling team, Tony Gandera, Ann Cavello and Judy Sawinski. And I can remember Judy Sawinski because I was getting so tired and so frustrated. And I can remember Judy Sawinski and says, okay, kid, well, you got to remember, keep your nose clean and work hard and you'll be fine. And I go, okay, let's do. Hmm. Will do. But, you know, you travel together. You put in a lot of time and hours together. There was the age difference, you know, and I was always called the kid. I was just always the kid.
Well, you know how I imagine. I play sports myself. So when you travel on a bus, you have friends who are going through relationships, breakups, cheating, gambling. You know the deal.
They did all kinds of stuff, yeah.
Uh-huh. So take us on that bus. Do you girls do the same thing? Do you guys gamble, spit tobacco? You know, pee on the side of the road?
No. When we were down in Australia, most of our traveling we did on airplanes,
mm-hmm.
and then the buses to the hotels. or taxi cabs. After hours, they go out to the clubs and drink and dance and you know, for the most part, or they'd have parties at their apartments, you know, or just go eat when everybody was broke. We'd meet at the Top of the Mark for dinner. And we always had to travel in our uniforms, you know, and we had to behave ourselves and look the part. I know we got in trouble up in Melbourne because we had our hair in rollers and we went to the lobby and that wasn't acceptable behavior. So, but they had fans after them, you know. I had, like down in Brisbane, they had my fan club down there. And so we used to go, they used to take me to, I went to several of their homes for like potlucks, what we call a potluck here, and and which was very, very nice that they would share their homes with us, you know, and I felt very fortunate in that. They taught me how to drive their vehicles because their steering wheel was on the right-hand side instead of the left-hand side, and so that was quite fun and adventurous for me.
Wow.
We did a lot of promotions, like down in Sydney, we went out with the frogmen.
Mm-hmm.
They took us out on their boat trolling for sharks, and it scared me to death, you know. And they're like, they're made all, you know, all kinds of fun at me, and because I was scared to death of the sharks, let alone being out on this trolling boat or whatever they wanted to call it, that I wasn't so sure was going to hold together. And then they prepared a meal for us, and they proceeded to tell me how I didn't know how to eat, because, you know, how we cut our meat and we change our forks from our left to our right hand to eat.
Sure.
They just cut everything up, and they take the potatoes, the back of their fork, and they just pile up the potatoes and peas and stuff on the fork and eat it, and they have the next bite ready. So they kept telling me that I was inefficient in how I ate.
Wow.
But I mean, and then we got to go out in the hydroplane boat out in the bay and out by the Opera House. We got to go see we went on up in Melbourne, we went on a special see Ralphie, part of us, and I and somebody else went to see their footballers that they had team over there. And they had a motorcade type of thing. I got to ride in a Rolls Royce for the first time and only time in my life. And that was quite an adventure for a young person. So I was able to do many, many different things that most young people don't get to do.
That's true. Tell me about the dark times. I mean, it sounds great. It sounds like they treated you well, but you're in professional sports. There had to be something that you were privy to see, you should not see or hear, or found yourself in a situation that you should not be in. Have there been any of those moments?
Yeah. well, I went to, well, Cavello used to go to a beauty shop and get her hair done in different colors every week. And so being young, I thought, well, if I want to be good at this, I got to do what Anne does. So I decided that I would go to where she got her hair done and get my hair done every week. And, of course, my hair was long, and he put my hair up in great big curls and stuff and sprayed it with lacquer. And I was sitting there, and these ladies came in, and they went out. But when they went out, they were guys. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, my jaw kind of hit my chest, you know. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And they're cracking up looking at me, just, you know, I mean, there was no hiding my shock, you know, on my face. And so what I found out is that they were performers at the Lay Girls. And because of my shock and everything, they gave me tickets for all of us to go watch them perform.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to see them perform. And they were all female impersonators. And they were absolutely great. And, I mean, they turned out to be some of the neatest people I'd ever met.
And sometimes, very, very talented. Yeah, sometimes they can trick you really good, Hammer, if you know what I mean. They're almost a little, they're too good at their impersonations.
I do know what you mean.
But I mean, I was
and that's another
then.
Show.
And
yeah.
that, and but I mean, you know, I'm learning things that I didn't know anything about. So, but they were very good performers.
We would love to invite you to Hollywood Boulevard. There's a whole list of. You know, I didn't mean to chime back in, Cindy. I came back in because Bill and I, we wanted to say our greetings. Bill, we can't actually hammer. Bill and I can't continue on hold. We're just going to have to listen through the computer. We got to run some errands. So, Cindy, as far as female impersonations, I might recommend Hamburger Mary's down in West Hollywood. Seriously, I have never seen such great shaved legs on a man. It will blow your mind. Obviously, before the other jokes follow in, I hope you enjoy the Hammer Show as much as we all do.
Well, I am.
Thank you.
My stepsister can't wait to get her book. She's jumping up and down right now. I can see it. So, all right, guys. And now we're going to actually flip over to full listener status, so have a good day.
Oh, wait, before you go, I know you got to leave. I'm going to say hello to Bill because Bill may have a question for Cindy.
Oh, Bill? Bill?
Okay.
Right here, having coffee. Can just say hi real fast.
Hey, hi, Brian. How you been, man?
Cindy.
Bill, miss you, buddy. How are you, my friend?
I'm trying to hang in there, man. You know how it is. Just work one day and nothing the next.
And then have me come over.
You keep on going, Bill. I got you back, buddy. I miss you. It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'll talk to you another time when I got more time.
You got it, buddy. Take care of yourself and good luck.
Oh, thank you, brother. You too.
Thank you, Cindy.
Right,
all right, Hammer. Bye, Kelly. Bye, Ellen.
Bye.
Bye, Chris.
Bye,
Chris Yonke.
Woo!
And thank you, Bill
say
Murray.
Say hi to Kelly for me.
I sure will.
I'm here.
Okay,
Cindy.
This time for sure. We're officially saying goodbye for the 10th time. I'm sorry about that, Cindy. All right, back to you guys. Over and out.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll take it. Thank you, Chris Yonke. Now, Cindy, you're 16. When did you have your first sexual experience?
I was 17, almost 18.
And were you still playing professional? Well, you still were on the team because you were on the team for a long time. So.
Yeah, but it had nothing to do with the team.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
So
it was a heterosexual experience.
I was not sexually active while I was skating professionally.
Okay.
That just didn't figure into my plan or scheme of doing things at that time in my life.
The reason I ask that, because you're 16, I'm thinking back in the day. Now, we have to think this is year now 1960. Now,
65.
Exactly, and I had to bring people back to what was going on in 1965. We know what's going on. That's when you had Woodstock, free love, hippies. I mean, it was the revolution was going on at that time.
Right.
So,
but we also had the rioting and all kinds. There was all the Vietnam War, everything. There was a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
In our country at that time.
Exactly.
And my whole thing was, I remember what Judy Sawinski told me. She said, kid, keep your nose clean, get your head down and work hard, stay out of trouble. And I took her literally, and I would not do anything that was going to jeopardize my skating for anybody.
Good, good.
That's awesome.
Was there a lot of drug abuse? When I say drugs, I can also include alcohol in this. Was there a lot of drug abuse going on?
I think the only thing that I was aware of was alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the alcohol. As far as any kind of drugs or anything like that, I wasn't aware of any drug use going on.
Okay. And when we come back, we want to talk to you about your opponents, your number one team, your enemies. Your other teams that you battle against, you must have some inside information. There must be some little talk, let's take her out first. It must be some kind of strategy. Who was your number one nemesis when you were skating, when you were 16?
When I was 16, my number one nemesis, the one person that I felt like I could have a vendetta against was a rookie that came up through the amateurs the same time I did. The strongest opponent that I ever went up against was Shirley Hardman with the Texas Outlaws.
Really?
She was one powerful woman. I mean, she rattled your teeth. she was, oh, I kid you not, she packed, I mean, even on the quad, you know, where you're moving with the punch, but she was strong. And it was like, oh, shit, not her again. But I would say she was the strongest defensive player I ever had to go up against.
You know, in football, we target people. Did you guys ever target a person? Let's just make sure we put her out dirty. When you knock her down. Do you ever step on her to injure a person? Not you, per se. Did it
oh,
go
yeah,
on in
I
that
did.
Sport?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I was trying to help.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay.
No problem.
Okay. So, really?
I mean, it was like, you know, well, yeah, you know, like my one, my personal thing that I was mean to a person with, which I feel bad about today, but when I was doing it, I felt good about it. It was this one lady that I did not like from day one because we were competing for a position on a team. And she was a defensive player. I was more of a jammer. You know, we both did pack work. But when she came over to Australia, she went to the beauty shop, and she was a black lady.
Mm-hmm.
And they did something to her hair, and it started falling out. So she bought a wig and started wearing wigs.
Mm-hmm.
So I come checking around, and she's being defensive. I go, oh, I'm ready for you, darling. And I snatched her wig, pulled it off, and first thing she does is put her hands on my head and duck and hide, and I score 1 point, call it off. And I did it to her the whole series. All I had to do was raise my hand at her, and she'd start ducking, you know, and she outweighed me by 125 pounds, no problem. All I had to do was reach for her head. And, I mean, I had so much fun with her, and that was bad. But I thoroughly enjoyed that series. I had fun. It wasn't all work for me.
Well,
so,
what do you say to the people who say it's fake? There was a period of time where they were comparing roller derby with wrestling, and they were saying it's fake. Did you ever hear these little things when you were skating around the ring and you hear these idiots, these hecklers?
I didn't pay much attention to any of them because most of the time they were cheering us on,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I know they've done just like exhibition games, you know, where they kind of go through the motion type thing. But what people have to understand is everybody out there is an athlete. And when I was out skating, I was out to skate my heart and to try and win. I had nothing to do with playing fakery. I mean, some of these people, they did promotional crap, you know, where they had the actors, well, this one or that. They didn't have to do any theatrics with me because I meant what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like with that girl. I didn't like her. She was on my league. And I could go for it. Now, if it was a Shirley Hardman or a Terry Lynch or, you know, somebody, one of my people that I looked up to that was a legend for me, No. I'm not going to pull any pranks on them. Yeah, unless they do something to me, then I'll, you know, hey, then we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that you can do to take somebody down. You know, it's training, learning, timing. But it's like Sundays were always hard because that was the end of the week for us up in Melbourne. And we were all getting tired because you feel like traveling gypsies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in Sydney on Wednesdays and Saturdays, then you're in Brisbane on Thursdays and Fridays, then you're in Melbourne on Sundays. And you know, that was week in and week out. You know, it's kind of a hard schedule.
Yeah, it sounds like it would. Did you ever see a life-crippling injury while you're in the sport?
Yes, I did. My mentor and trainer, John Hall, in the training school, he was, they were in the Olympic Auditorium, and they were out warming up before the game, and he and Charlie Mitchell, I believe it was, they were going in opposite directions on the track, and they got their signals crossed. And instead of one ducking and the other one jumping over, they both stayed up, and he ended up with a broken neck and was in the hospital for a long, long time, and that ended his skating career. I've seen broken, Tony Tag broke her leg. I've seen broken wrists, you know. So there were lots of concussions, lots of raspberries, you know, lots of abrasions, black eyes.
Sure.
Wow. Things like that.
Well, it is a combat sport. It is a combat
it's
sport.
It's a contest.
Yeah, and you're trained to fall on your butt. Am I correct? Is that your first training? You're on a skate. First thing you got to learn how to do is fall on your butt.
Yeah. Well, when you the first thing you have to do is learn how to stand up on the track and how to skate around it. Once you get your balance and you're able to, you are trained how to fall. You are trained how to take a rail. You are trained how to jump, you know, and this is all to try and eliminate some of the injuries and so that you don't hurt someone else. You have to learn second nature, keep your hands up when you're going down so you don't break a wrist or an arm or jack up your shoulders. This is, I mean, you put in hours and hours and hours going around and around and around. And, you know, you've the rhythm of the track. In different buildings, you have different size tracks, lengths, depending on, you know, the building that you're in. And we're all taught how to do it to try and keep us from, you know, not getting hurt. Because when you take that rail head on and you don't have your arm down to catch it, it hits across the lower part of your lung. And it knocks the air out. I got knocked out by hitting that rail because I was out way back. And when I hit the rail, I hit it with my stomach, and I flipped over the rail and onto the floor, and I was out for the count.
Wow.
So things happen. Even with the best training, things still happen.
You mentioned to me that there was a point where they thought that you wouldn't maybe even walk again or be able to skate again. What was that? What injury did you have at that time?
I dislocated my tailbone and fractured the last vertebrae in my back.
Ooh.
And I had a lot of nerve damage, you know, because of all the nerves down in there.
Right.
And I had, that was very painful, and I spent a lot of time in the I spent a lot of time in the hospital and had to go through a lot of physical therapy and everything. And once the Australian doctors released me from the hospital and I went back stateside, and I had to go to the doctors, and the doctor in L.A. told me, because I had a lot of like paralysis in my leg and no feeling, and I was having trouble with my legs, and he was telling me that there was a possibility that if I wasn't careful and didn't do what they say, that I could end up being paralyzed and not being able to walk again. Mm. And I thought, oh, yeah, right. That me. So I went to their physical therapy, and I did what my, you know, I worked hard on my strengthening and stamina and did everything they told me to, and I went back to skating. I ride horses. You know, I bowl. I walk. I do all the things that they told me I wasn't going to be able to do. And I'm like, well,
wow.
I'm not fighting into that one. I refuse to negative. You know, I don't like people always giving you the negative and not giving you the positive, or, you know, or saying, well, if you do this, you might, you know, and they give you this doomsday diagnosis. I don't like that. So I proved them wrong.
You sure did. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your book, Hell on Wheels. You're listening to The Legend. I don't like to say legend. When people say legend, they think they're so old.
Well, legends are someone who has done something in the past.
Okay,
you know?
There you go. The Derby Queen
it's
herself.
It's all how you look at it.
I look at it like you have done it and you kick some ass. You're going to listen to the Derby Queen herself, the Derby legend, Cindy McCoy. When we come back, we're going to talk about the book, Hell on Wheels. It's a fascinating book, and also, let's not lose sight in what Cindy's doing. It's soon to be a movie, we hope. Right, Cindy? You have a campaign going on so you can make it a movie?
Yes, I have a screenplay written. James Vincent was my screenwriter, and the name of the movie is Roller Derby Queen. And we are currently looking for financing to get this produced.
There you go. And when we come back, you're going to find out how you can help Cindy finance this beautiful movie. I would see it. I would see it. I know Butch is already telling his friends that you have a movie coming out, so they already got tickets. So I'm telling you, we'll be right back. Kelly, can you take me to a commercial? Because I'm trying to find – it's host 1 second.
Sure.
Take me to a PSA and then a commercial, please.
Okay.
Thank you. And we'll be right back with the legendary Cindy McCoy, Hell on Wheels. It's the book. Man, she's hot. I'm telling you, I haven't seen this studio so packed. I just don't know. We were going to go to a commercial, but I guess we cannot find our commercial, so I think we'll talk
to
Cindy.
I'm hitting the button, and it's not playing.
Oh, okay. Keep hitting. There you go, Kelly. Okay. Well, we're back from the commercial. How was that? Hope you bought the product. Okay. I need to run out and get some right away. We'll be right back.
Come on. Let's get busy. Come on. Let's get busy. Get impressed. Get engaged. Get connected with Media Pro Productions.com. You bring the script, we turn on the lights, we produce the action.
Lights, camera, action, with red carpet satisfaction.
Media Pro Productions.com.
Frank Sinatra was a man. No, he was the man. And he loved Jack. No, that's Jackie. Jack, as in Daniels. On stage every night. Three rocks, two fingers, and a splash of water. He's even buried with a bottle of it. So, Frank, this one's for you.
That's the nectar of the gods, baby.
Hello, my name is Larry Russ, former keyboardist and vocalist for Iron Butterfly, 1999 to 2005. And when I want to listen to great talk radio, I listen to Brian the Hammer Show on BT Radio.
Thank you, Larry. And we're back with the legendary, the beautiful Derby Queen herself, Miss Sis Cindy McCoy. First of all, I want to tell you and tell your husband thank him for his service for our country. That's the number one I want to say.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yes, my husband was in the U.S. Navy Special Forces. He did 3 combat tours. And I really, really hope we can find the funding for this movie, The Roller Derby Queen, because my goal is if the movie is funded, produced, then my whatever proceeds that I make from the film, I intend to donate and contribute 5% of those earnings to the Wounded Warrior Project.
Well, God bless you. God bless you, Cindy. God bless you. And, Cindy, let's go to your book now. We learned a little bit about you, and everybody fell in love with you. So let's talk about your book. Give us an idea of what's going on. I'm not going to say anything. I need you to sell it, Cindy. Tell us why we need these books now.
We need to sell these books now so that we can hopefully earn enough to get some funding for the movie project. And I think it's an important book for young people. It's a short read, and it covers a lot of things, and I think even young people would benefit from reading my bio.
You do have many fans. You do have many fans. When you say it's a short read, how many pages, Cindy?
It's about 100 pages, 110 pages, about like that. And it was intentionally Dr. Karen Mueller Bryson, the author. She and I discussed this because bios can be very dull and boring. Mm-hmm. So we covered a lot of time in a short amount of pages because people are busy today. You mm-hmm. know, they're riding on a plane, you know, and they're bored, and they'll grab a book or download something that they can read while they're in flight, and they're not in the middle of something and never get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we elected to do it in a briefer form. And then in hoping to get the movie rolled off the book. And if I can, you know, and go from there so that I can fulfill my goal of being able to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
There you go. And the story is about inspiration and transformation. Every Kindle is the human spirit. I mean, 16 years old, you're in professional sport. Cindy, do we get a, when we look at your book, do we get a peek at behind the scenes? Do we get a peek at things that they don't know? Are there some secrets uncovered about roller derby that Butch, who is a super fan, will say, oh, is it one of those?
Yeah, no, I didn't go into the secrets behind the scene on that. You know, this is kind of an overview of my life, and I didn't mm-hmm. go into, quote, the culture of the roller game mm-hmm. family. I didn't do that because this was a book about me and my life without infringing on anyone or anything.
Sure. And does it talk about your life when you were 16, and it talks about the divorce and how shameful it was in that period of time? And what you went through, and maybe the depression, and what you thought of your mom when she met this other gentleman that you particularly didn't like. Do we get a peek in there?
You get a little peek there, and the divorce, and you know, and the skating, and you know, it touches on there, which is, you know, gives you the opening to the film, from the book to the film.
Wow.
Expand on.
Now, were you an angry girl? Were you one of those girls who were 15 and 16 that you just wanted to take somebody's head off because you were so pissed off at the world?
No. And the only person that I really got angry at was the guy that my mom lived with in California Tech. And he was totally out of line. Most of the time I was pretty quiet and shy. Because, I was ashamed of my living situation. Number two, mm-hmm. I didn't want anybody to know because I didn't want to be labeled mm-hmm. something I wasn't.
Right.
And that's also why I was so determined that I would not be sexually active or do anything because
mm-hmm.
I didn't want that kind of label.
Right. What made you pissed off at this guy? What was she comes home? Here's the scene. Tell me how it happened. Hi, honey. Guess what? This is so-and-so, and he's going to be living with us because I love him. Take
no,
me there.
No. Both of my parents abandoned me, and I was left to live with my aunt and uncle.
Oh, okay.
In Colorado. My mother came back with this dude. You know, and then we went to California because that's where they were living at the time. And we went to Knott's Berry Farm and went through all of the touristy things. Did that. Everything was fine. And then I begged my mom to let me go stay with her. And they finally gave in. But then he started, you know, this wanting to get handy, feely, touchy, and I'm like, get your grubby mitts away from me. And my mom would be at work, I'd come home, and here was the lech, you know, and I'm like, I'm not going down this path.
Mm-hmm.
And I had told my mom that she better tell him to stay the hell away from him, from me, you know. Mm-hmm. And finally, at one point in time, he he said something really filthy, and I was, I just had it with him, and I mean, I attacked him. I just took my nails and I dug them into his face and I kicked him, and I thought, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, wow.
And I told him, I said, don't you ever come near me or try to touch me again, because if you do, I'm going to kill you if I have to boil you in oil while you're sleeping.
Well, that's what happens with a shy girl when they meet a pervert. You know, things happen like
yeah.
that. Good
so
for you.
I got there, but I put him on notice, and I meant every word I said, and I told my mom, I said, that's it. I'm done. And this is when I was going to rehab.
Rehab?
And
after
I injured my back and I had to come back stateside, and
sure.
he started in really,
oh.
you know, just filthy talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I just finally had it. And I got through rehab, and that's why I just thought, man. And then when I went back, I got my release and everything, and I went back and I stayed. And by that time, things had started slowing down. They were going to close down in
mm-hmm.
Australia. Well, Australia is where I wanted to go, because that was like my extended, my family. You know, they treated me like
right.
family. And
right.
I couldn't go back, and they wanted me to go to Japan. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
well, I don't want to go to Japan because I don't speak the language, you know.
Right.
And it scared me. You know, I was afraid to go. And then the home thing, I was like, I can't live like this anymore. And so I told my mom, I said, I'm need to go back to Colorado. I need to go back and finish school. And I said, I need you to get out of this situation and come home with me. You know, Colorado was our home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finished my last series, and I came back stronger, faster than I had been, because I had rehabbed. I had put on a few pounds, and I was able to, you know, and I proved to myself and everybody that I still had it and I could do it, that everything was changing. Yeah, I don't know the politics of what was going on. I just knew it was different. And it didn't set right with me, and I thought the time is now for me to fulfill my promise, so I have that off my plate. And that's what I did.
Well, congratulations. Mm-hmm.
And I took my mother, and I bought a 54 Ford. I called her Leap and Lena. I took the back seat out of it and put as many things of our personal belongings as I could in that vehicle, and we left California and went back to Colorado.
Well, congratulations.
Got rid of the pervert.
Got rid of the pervert. Well, that's good. I mean,
that's
you know.
Issue.
Yeah. Well, that's, well, now we're coming into the 70s, the 80s. Roller derby is starting to fade. Teams are folding. This is part of your life. You see the change right now. What do you think about what's happening, Cindy? Did you, when you started seeing people, the sport just going away?
Well, it broke my heart to see the sport go away. I mean, management, I think they mismanaged. They lost their syndication, and the skaters lost their livelihoods. And to me, that's always sad. And to see it, you know, trying to be revived is like, yay, yay, yay. It's not the same. You know, they still have some bang tracks going on, but it's still not the same because they just don't have the depth of the skaters. But, you know, it still brings back a lot of memories for people who enjoyed the sport. And, I mean, roller derby, roller games, it was a sport where men and women competed on the same rule, competed with the same rules on the mm-hmm. same track in a contact sport. And I think that is something for women to be proud of, that they could compete, because when we were going to school, when I was growing up, oh, you can't do that because you're a girl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got so, you can't play baseball. You can't play football. You can't mm-hmm. do this because you're a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, get real. Yeah, I can play these games better than some of these guys out there. You know, I'm like, don't deny the fact that we can't be athletes, you know. And because women are good athletes, and they get shortchanged.
Let me ask you a question, Cindy. I don't know if you've seen it. The Paris Olympics, what was in Russia, did you see that girls' hockey team go against the Canadians? And basically the U.S. team, they cried. They lost the final game. But they didn't shake hands with the Canadian team. They just showed them just crying and bawling. And the world's seeing this. How do you feel about that?
Embarrassed.
I did too. I did too.
Embarrassed because an athlete needs to learn one thing. We're all athletes, whether they're in another country or not. We all train hard. We all want to win. And you compete, and you compete from your heart. And it's hard to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be proud of what the job you did and congratulate the people who beat you.
Right.
You know, be an adult, you know, be first class. Don't go crying away like, you know, some teeny bopper. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like Apollo when he was speed skating. I used to get so excited to watch him skate because he was so fast and he brought back, you know, the energy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and somebody to hope for and, you know, it gives you, but I mean, that's like what they do in the schools today. They, you know, they don't want anybody to fail. They don't want anybody to win or be losers. You know, they want to reward them because they lose. And I'm like, man, we're just going about things the wrong way.
I agree with you. So you don't believe everybody should have a trophy. You don't. If everybody gets a trophy, there's no competition.
There's no competition. You don't learn. You don't learn by somebody handing you something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't learn to work and earn. You don't learn discipline. You don't learn, you know, the difference between, you know, defeat and winning and defeat or however you want to classify. I just do not agree with that.
I'm with you.
Because I think that takes away character. And you look at our military. You look at our military. Our men in military. It's structure. It's training. It's teaching. It's discipline. If they do good, then they get promoted. If they screw up and party hardy and don't do what they're supposed to, then they get demoted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way it should be.
I love the way you think. Let me ask you this. Now, you're brought up. Now, remember, we're in a year. When you first got into the sport, you were 16. You're a lady. I don't want to say your age. But let me just say this. And then we went into the 60s and everything. You saw things change. America changed. Color changed. The way we did things changed. How we addressed people changed. And we're talking about the Civil Rights Movement. We're talking about Vietnam War. We're talking about women burned their bras. You were there. Did you have a bra? Did you burn it? I'm just asking.
No, I didn't burn my bra. I always wanted it. But I was proud that I got to wear a bra. I haven't taken it off for anybody.
That would have been third-degree burns. Okay. But you were there. Now, I bring you here. I bring you up in 2014. You've seen these changes happen, Cindy. They're happening. A lot of people did not like it, but they're happening. What do you think about Donald Sterling saying those things? And remember, he's in that age way before. He was in the age of 19, maybe 34, probably before then. That's how he was brought up. I'm not excusing what he said, but I'm trying to say, what do you think about this uproar? Because someone on the team and said some stuff, and the team is rebelling against the owner. How do you feel about that, Cindy?
Well, people, you know, words are cheap. Words sting. Words hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think people just try to find, I'm not excusing everything, but people try to use anything at a drop of a hat to try and cause problems today, whether it's in sports, in work, or whatever, and everybody's a sue-happy, trying to get vindictive. I see the country going through this division process kind of in a different scope than what we lived through, what I lived through, but it still carries deep wounds there, and people are getting more agitated today. I mean, it's like when we were growing up, you had to do good, you did good, you got rewarded, blah, blah, blah. That's like this football player that they brought back that was having these dog fights and killing dogs. Do I think he should be playing?
Yeah, Michael Vick.
No.
Michael Vick,
do I think he should be playing? No.
Really?
Because I love animals.
Right.
I don't think they should be mistreated.
Right.
I don't think anybody in a public view, and for this to be broadcast, should be rewarded with the amount of money he's being paid that would do something like that.
But he paid his debt to society. He went to jail.
That's fine. But then he comes out in the rewarding by taking back into the NFL.
Good point. Well, I'm going back to, again, and let's be honest. In those days when you were skating during the 60s and the 70s, you saw the change in the revolution of America. There was prejudice. There was prejudice when you were roller skating in your professional team. There was prejudice going on there. Would you say yes or no?
Well, among the skaters, I didn't feel that at all. Because we were all skaters, we all hung together, we traveled together, we took meals together, and that was not an issue in the skating family. As far as the skaters, our skaters ourselves.
But
I was never involved with it. But, I mean, I saw the riots. I saw, heard stuff on the news, saw stuff. I didn't understand it at the time. But I never felt out of place or felt uncomfortable with anybody. And we had, you know, we had Indians, we had blacks, we had Hispanics, we had Caucasians, when we were all from, we had Irish, we had Polish, we had, that wasn't an issue with us.
Yeah. Well, who let the Irish in? The Irish is always causing problems.
Irish. Yeah, that's called the O'Reillys and the McCoys.
I don't mind anybody else, but the Irish?
It's Irish, yeah. These Irish don't have tempers. Don't get yourself.
I don't know. Troublemakers. But what do you think about people taking a team away from Donald Sterling because he made those remarks as a sports person? Do you think people have the right, just because he said some remarks that were not popular or could be ignorant? I don't agree. Like I said in the beginning of the show, I don't agree with what you say all the time, but I will damn well fight for the right for you to say it, because this is America and we're fighting for freedom, and that's what your husband did, and that's what a lot of people right now are fighting for, our freedom to be allowed for us to say
certain
things.
Do I think it's right? No.
Yeah.
I do not think it is right of them to be able to take something that's his away from him because he exercised his freedom of speech. That is way over the line with me. I don't think he should be punished because other people have said some. What have the people said about him, that hasn't been made public? Reverse it. Psychology.
Was he wrong?
Yes. Was he wrong in what he said? Yes. But do I think he should be punished by taking his team away from him because he said some words, and then they allow Michael Vick, he served his time, but they open their arms and welcome him back into the NFL? No. double standard. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. I happen to agree with you. And like I said, I don't condone what he said. And I still don't think in his mind he said anything wrong, because how he was brought up, I just have to give him that curve. But he's ignorant. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't condone what he said, but I will fight to the end that anyone be able to say it. I mean, we're coming to this society, Cindy. I want to ask you. I think our generation before us, I feel they are entitled. I believe they got a pass. I believe everybody gets a trophy. Nobody gets punished in school. They'll never SWAT. Don't hit me. Don't yell at me in a store, Mommy. I'm going to call the police and take you away. We cannot punish our kids anymore.
And that's wrong. I understand why it occurred, but now they've gone from one extreme to the other extreme, and it's creating a lot of problems in our society today.
I think so.
It really is, and it's getting worse.
I agree with you. One more thing, and then we're going to get right to the movie. What do you think about, I don't know if you heard this, about the gay football player who was for the draft? He's openly gay, and he got drafted, and he's gay. Is that a big deal, Cindy? Is that a big deal?
No, it's not. No, it's not. And I really, you know, why people have to make it, number one, in the workplace, in your professional place, your personal situation at home is nobody's business. That's private. And why everybody has to make a big deal. Oh, I'm gay. And I'm like, good for you, you know.
Exactly.
You know, he's not hiding in a box. I don't think he should have to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Is that my chosen way of being? No. Do
mm-hmm.
I know people? Have I been around people who are gay? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does it bother me? No. Do I understand it? No. Am I going to treat them like they have leprosy or something? No. Because
mm-hmm.
some of your most talented people are gay.
Mm-hmm.
They're creative. They have talent, and you can learn from them. And they have a sensitivity to them that is just unique. And, I mean, I embrace it. I mean, I don't run from it.
They're people.
One iota. They're people.
Exactly.
They're people.
And whatever their sexual preference or religious preference, whatever preference, that's your own business. Why should we be in your business?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that
that's just how I feel.
So do I. I mean, that is just not, I'm not sitting in judgment on anybody on their personal choice.
I agree.
We all make
We do, Cindy. You know, you are a legend and an icon. You know that? You are an inspiration. I agree with you. The generations that are coming up, I think they are entitled, and I think they're the ones who are screwing up this world, because they're not really competing or working hard to try to change things. They feel like they're entitled, and if they feel that something is injustice, all of a sudden they want to jump in and say, that's not right. But wait a minute. You got Cindy, who's 16 years old, breaking barriers, going and playing professional sports, people burning bras, Roe versus Wade. Those are the things that women fought for, to smoke in public. I think they forget all that stuff, you know? I think it's like this new society of tech society and social media. I think it's harmful to our kids. They're not even playing outside anymore, Cindy. They don't have skates.
No. And well, the best thing in the world for you is to be outside in the fresh air, skating, riding, running, playing on a swing, you know, playing, you know, kickball or baseball or, you know, be, kids are not allowed to be kids. You know, they have to have all these special helmets on and the special everything on. And I'm like, oh, come on.
I agree with you. Just to ride a bicycle down the street. Where's your helmet, son? We have become so, I use the other word, but I'm not going to say it in front of you. We have become so sensitive that it kind of hurt our character and our judgment. I'm just saying, You know, Kelly's the same way. She has two boys, and she locks them in a bubble. They have to go out with plastic bubble wrap so they don't fall down and hurt themselves. That's how she protects the kids.
Oh, I do not.
Other kids are pointing and laughing at them because they're surrounded with bubble wrap.
The only time they're protected is on a football field.
That's true.
I mean, we used to play chicken on our bicycles. We used to go down the alleys, and we used to climb trees. And I
wow.
mean, that, you know,
dodgeball,
wow. you know, hopscotch. I mean, come on, be a kid.
I know. Well, Kelly, if their kids... Kelly has great kids. I mean, they're not supposed to go outside unless they have their manicures. If they don't, they get time out. They must be manicured, and they
don't
must.
Time out. That's the
what are you talking about?
Time out. I hate that word. Time out.
You know, manicure. the new thing.
I know.
Really?
What are you
Seriously?
Talking about?
No, this sounds more like Erin. She can't go outside unless
great.
Her hair is perfectly done up.
Exactly. Kelly's kids too. Mom, where's
no.
the blow dryer? No, they're football players. They're great kids. They're football players. I tease Kelly. Just to get her in the conversation, she's been sitting so long. Well, Kelly.
I'm sorry, Kelly.
Well, I'm just intrigued. I'm loving listening to all this.
But, you know, let's go back to your book. I mean, you're wonderful. I love the way you think. You're exactly right. Again, I don't condone what a person says. It could be wrong, but they have the right to say it. And we have the right to say, you know what, I don't like what he says. I'm not shopping there, or I'm not buying this gear, or I'm not buying tickets anymore. That's our right. That's the punishment. But we don't
Correct.
Have the right to do a coup and take over a person's livelihood because they said something that's not popular or offended somebody.
Yeah, that is so wrong.
If stupidity was illegal, everybody would be in jail at least one time in their life.
Well, true.
Everybody
well,
just says
true.
Something stupid.
True, but nowadays if you say something stupid, they'll take away your business and your livelihood. They will take,
yeah.
nowadays they will.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Paula Deen.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Oh. So, here we are. Don't get me riled up, Ms. McCoy.
Okay, take a chill pill. We'll all cool down. Get back to business.
The Irish. All right, here we go.
I wanted to also tell you before I forget that my husband, Terry, he told me to tell you to give your son a hand salute from a Navy SEAL.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
And I saw what Terry wrote, that he had my six. And thank you so much, sir. And I will. I am so proud. He comes home in his Navy uniform, and he wears it well. He wears it well. He has that Navy walk now. He's proud. Those shoulders are back. I mean, he's depressed.
His shoulders back and squared. All right.
Oh, yeah. I am so proud of him. Like I said, when I saw that graduation, Kelly watched it with me. When I said that graduation, that was my son. I've never been – and thank you, sir. Yeah, our military.
Right.
I can go on and talk to Terry about what's happening with the VA. I won't, but this is your segment. And I am pro-military. I'm pro-America. I happen to think the United States of America is strong. The divided states of America is weakening us with this bickering and crap and separation. It's just weakening our country to death. So maybe we can stand together as Americans this Memorial Day and remember the people who gave us our freedom. That's all I can
Amen
hope for.
Amen to that. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank
Brian,
you, sir.
Let me ask you something. Has the Navy uniform changed a lot? I mean, because I remember when my dad was in the Navy when he was up there, it was blue. It was a blue
mm-hmm.
coat and
mm-hmm.
a blue hat. And then
mm-hmm.
when, you know, it was white.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if it's changed a lot.
Yes, they have changed the uniform, and I guess they're going to change it again. And the uniform that they've gone to today is not as functional as the one that they had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The design of the Navy uniform of the past was designed so that if they were at sea, that they could use it to float in the water until somebody
mm-hmm.
could pick them up. and they've taken away a lot of the functional safety designs in the uniform.
Well, he has two. One uniform he has is like a fatigue, like an army fatigue sometimes he'll come in with. And then he has his white uniform with the white hat and his tie and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's the one that I remember my dad having all the time, the dress uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my dad was in, like, in the 60s, when he was way, way back, it was a blue shirt, a white, you know, sailor cap, and the blue pants.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not allowed to talk about it because it's funny. I don't know when Terry was in there. I'm sure he was because he was Special Forces. And Terry, I would love to talk to you about one of the best movies I saw, the one with the Navy SEALs going in with oh boy, come on. Wahlberg, was it Wahlberg? Anyway, we're not allowed to talk about it. When he calls home, he cannot talk on the phone. He can, my girlfriend would say, well, how long are you going to be, this and this? And he says, I cannot talk to you about this, Mom. I cannot talk on the phone at all about what's going on. Yeah.
No, you don't talk.
No. It must be hard. How was it married to a Navy SEAL?
Well, Terry and I, Terry is my second husband, I have, over the years, he has come out and talked about some of the things that he endured, because I told him that, they talk about this, and he's opened up and talked about a lot, because a lot of times, I'm a kind of person who believes you can't begin to heal unless you talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I believe that is because it took me a long time to talk through my hurt and anger over my parents' divorce and the fact that they abandoned me. It took me a long, long time to talk about it. And when I finally was able to talk about it and face my embarrassments, my shame, And the healing started. Then the healing process started in me, internally.
So
that's what I preach to him. You need to talk to me or talk to somebody, but you need to talk to someone, because until you start talking about it, the healing process can't start.
He will always
be a
SEAL.
We shared a lot.
Yeah,
he will always be
a
SEAL. That will never change.
Well, you are his worst nightmare. You want to talk.
I'm his worst nightmare. I just
leave him alone.
Yeah,
give Terry a break.
I stirred up the nightmares again. I did all of that.
I know it.
And I'm going, we're going to face this together.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, Terry.
And so we're like connected at the hip, let me tell you.
Yeah. Oh, Terry. You got a good woman there, though. All right, everybody. Let's talk about your movie. Here we go. You heard about the book. You hear how beautiful the legendary Cindy McCoy is and Derby Queen. And let's talk about your movie. So do you have it out right now? Is it on Kickstarter? Are you trying to fund it on Indiegogo? How are you getting the funds for your movie?
We are trying to secure funding for the movie project. And the movie project name is Roller Derby Queen. And James Vincent is a screenwriter who has written this for me. And so we are looking for the funding. And we have all the information. It's on my website. And that's there. And we've had several people approach us, but we have not solidified anything at this point. So we're still trying to find the funding to make this happen.
Okay. So are you still shopping, or are you actually at the point where let's fund this movie?
We're at the point where it's let's fund this movie.
Okay.
The script is done. We have tracks available. We have people who have given us letters of intent. We have everything to go. We just need the money to make it happen.
Okay. Have you shot the trailer yet?
We have not done a trailer. We have a postcard and information on the website.
Okay. Well, are you familiar with Indiegogo and Kickstarter?
Indiegogo, no.
Okay. Kelly, would you want to go private with Cindy a little bit later after the show? Give her some information regarding Indiegogo and Kickstarter. I think it would really help
with fun. Yeah, I'll do it in the inbox.
Yeah.
That'll be fine.
Would you do that? Okay.
Yeah, and then we do have the proposal on the website that we have. It's posted on the website. We have all that information up.
Now, who's working with you, Cindy? Do you have a writer? I mean, you're there. It's your project. Do you have an agent or do you have a writer? Do you have a producer working with you in your house and let's do this and leading the charge?
No, I have the writer of the screenplay was James Vincent, and I have some directors who are involved with the letters of intent and ready to go, and we've tried different avenues. And we're still we're looking for an agent. At this time, I had contacted someone, and I haven't gotten a response back from him.
Are you looking for a literary agent, or you're looking for a publicist, or you're looking for an agent for yourself to shop your book or shop your movie?
I'm looking for an agent to shop the movie and the book.
Okay.
The book and the movie, I'm trying to shop those and to find the funding.
Okay. I'm going to have Kelly contact you after the show and see if there's anything we can do to help and get you going. Some of our contacts may be able to help you. And if you decide to get a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo project up there so people can donate, if you need our help, we'll get you up there. We'll promote it as much as we can, get you some dollars in there and do everything we can.
Yeah, because once we get the film done and it starts making money, and that, again, I want to stress and emphasize that any money that I would benefit from the film, 5% of that will go to the Wounded Warrior Project.
God bless you. God bless you. We got to get this off the ground. Do you don't have a crew yet ready to go to shoot the movie once you get the funding? You haven't gone that far yet.
We have a director and we have two different people who have given us letters of intent who would love to do it if we can get the funding.
Oh, okay. So they're not on board with you yet. They're waiting for you to get the funding first.
We are waiting for us, the director. We have a director and a producer and a co-producer, but we need the funding to make it happen.
To get those guys on board.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, they're a bunch of sissies. All right.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know what? Let me tell you a secret. Everybody will come on board when you have the money, Cindy. Everybody's your friend.
Then
I'm going to come on board.
But, you know, I have this little memory. I remember things, you know, so...
Do you mind if I put something out there for you, Cindy?
No.
Okay, I'm going to put it out there. Everybody will come aboard. How much are you trying to raise, first of all, Cindy? $10 million? $15 million?
We would like to win between $8 and $10
million. $8 and $10? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's try to $8 to $10 million to try and come in.
Okay.
Hopefully, with that number, we can come in a little below that.
Well, that's low, but that's cool. So,
but I want to keep it low because if you keep it low, control your expenses, get the most bang for the buck, and the way that they can do filming today is incredible. You don't need these massive, huge amounts to produce like you did in the past.
Okay.
Especially when I have access to a lot of the stuff that they need.
That's true.
You know, for minimal fees.
Are you dead set on these directors, or these are just directors who responded to you? I mean, do you really want these people, these directors and these producers, you're dead set on these guys?
Not necessarily. I'm interested in someone who wants to make it happen.
Yeah. There you go.
And if they don't want to get off it and make it happen, then I'll find somebody who will.
Well, I just have a message to those guys just in case they're listening. Don't be a pansy with this letter of intent. You get in there on the ground floor. This is what directors do, and I'm going to say it out there right now. We have a lot of directors listening to us. We have producers listening to us. We have a lot of people listening to us. This is Cindy McCoy, the legend. The legend. She has a built-in audience. She's looking for a director, a producer, just in case, Cindy, a writer, just in case you have to redo the script. Just hang in there.
I'm sure it will be redone. You know, that's
okay.
Standard operating procedure. It will be redone, no doubt in my mind. So
there you go.
I'm already prepared for that. I already know it. I'm dead serious. Let's get this done. It's a good story. It can be fantastic. So that we can support our wounded warriors. I mean, come on.
There you go. And where do these new directors now who are legitimate, who are not going to wait until you get funding, where are the best directors who will get in this project, make it happen? Those are the guys you go to movies with. Those are the guys you go to battle with. Not these little guys, here's my little letter of intent until you get the money. You little, if I was in the Navy, I would slap you down. So where do these good guys?
I'm looking for the good guys.
You're looking for the best guys who believe in a project and make it happen.
Yeah, and not all these, I don't know. I never heard so many
women
in all my life.
Exactly.
I mean, come on, get with it.
How many people, make it happen. And where do they? How do they contact you, Cindy, so they can make it happen with you?
Okay. They can go to my website, which is www.rollerderbylegend.com.
There you go. We're going to keep an eye on you, Cindy. We
and
want to know your progress.
You.
We really are.
Well, I hope it gets moving forward fast here real soon. I'm ready to make it happen.
It sounds like it'll be a great. You already have a built-in audience. You're already a legend. What more do they want? They want me as a leading man? Okay. I'll lower my price.
All right. You can be my leading man.
I'll get in there and make it happen.
Put the squats on.
I can't skate, so I'm going to. I would have to let Efron be my body double. I can't skate. But anyway.
Well, I guess, you know, you can still, there's time for you. You could still learn to skate.
That's true.
You would make this happen, and then I'm like a steady customer for you for life.
You got it.
It would be a sight seeing Brian.
You got it. Well, I'll tell you. All right, you can watch it, Missy. That's worth the price of admission. You should. I mean, that's worth $14. Look at this. Okay. Everybody, we're going to leave right now. And Efren, you've been here such a long time, and thank you for being so patient. Would you like to ask a question before we leave?
No, I'm good. Thank you so much. I greatly enjoyed the conversation, enjoyed the stories that Cindy shared with us. It's been an awesome, awesome show. Again, thank you so much for everything that you've done. I look forward to reading the book and, you know, looking forward to the movie as well. So thank you again for everything. Congratulations.
Thank you so very much.
You know, we all have problems. And Cindy, Efren is also a musician. And
awesome.
Kelly, can you find his song, because I'm trying to look for it right now. I think you're gonna love this. Let me know when you find it, Kelly.
I'm looking.
Okay. It's a great song. I don't want you to go until you hear it. Oh, here it is. I got it, kiddo. This is a song from Efren. And here we go. And tell me what you think of it, Miss McCoy.
Okay.
Catchy. I love it already. And here we go.
I got a piece of shit car. It gets me around. Don't go too far, but it gets me to town. I got a piece of shit house. It's falling apart. I build it with my hands and I put in my heart. I got a piece of shit life. It nags me all day. Lord knows it's gotta be this way. But that's okay. the perfect fit. Every single one of my piece of shit. I got a piece of shit dog, he ain't no fun. I tried to shoot him, but he done hit my gun. I got a piece of shit cat, he's ugly and thin. He's ugly as me, and he's ugly as sin. I got a piece of shit bird, who just sings the blues. One day I'm gonna kill him, probably eat him too. But that's okay, cause it's a perfect fit. Every single one of my piece of shit. Every single one of my piece of shit. Committed some crime. I got a piece of shit life. Might suck to be me, but I know I'm American. I know that I'm free. So that's okay, cause it's a perfect fit. Every single one on my piece of shit. Every single one on my piece of shit. Every single one on my piece of shit. Sometimes life gives you up and life gives you downs. But you gotta keep going. You gotta look at the bright side. Cause every morning when the sun comes up for you and it comes up for me. That's right. Every single one. They're my piece of shit. Mm-mm-mm. I got a piece of shit life. It nags me all day. Lord knows it's gotta be this way. But that's okay. Cause it's a perfect fit.
Now, what do you think of that, Cindy?
I love it. It's awesome. I love it. Got the beat, got the legs. All right, I like it.
Well, Efron, what do you think?
Well, coming from a living legend, I am so humbled and touched by the fact that you loved it. So thank you so much for that. I greatly appreciate it. I can't thank Brian and Kelly and Ellen and the entire staff for that, but thank you so much for your kind words. I greatly appreciate it. Truly humble.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you for sharing it with me.
I think we got a theme song for your movie.
I do, too. We got a theme song just all right there done.
Exactly. I can see it now. You're on the bus, and it gets in trouble and everything, and you guys are trying to dig it out, and boom.
Boom.
I love you, Miss Cindy McCoy. I love you, Mister. I salute you, sir. Terry McCoy. It is McCoy, isn't it? You did take his second name? Okay, good.
I took his name, yes. I took his name.
Good.
And
I salute you, sir.
And like I said, we're connected at the hip. I mean, had to bring that seal forward.
Oh, well. You know, I'm sure if anybody who's going to be, you know, connected to the hip, he would prefer you. You're a good woman. You're a good person. You have a great sense of humor. I mean, you're the real deal, Miss Cindy McCoy. You're the real deal. You live up to the queen of roller skating and derby and also the legend. You're the real deal. I want to thank everybody. You're so welcome. And Kelly, this is where we say goodbye. Kelly, Ellen, you have any last thing to say to Miss Cindy McCoy?
No, I mean, I was just intrigued. You know, because I used to watch roller derby when I was younger, too. And I was, you know, I couldn't imagine all the stamina that you had to have to be able to go around that rink as fast as you were going and all the all the injuries that everybody must have gotten at least once or twice in their life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They did. But they're all athletes. They're all skaters. And it doesn't matter what league or which rules they were skating under. They were all athletes. Many mm-hmm. legends have passed away, and God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they afforded me the chance to be there.
Well, thank God for that. And thank
yep.
God for you being a voice of before we leave, you're still involved with roller derby. Are you and Terry still involved with roller derby?
We're just following some of the leagues. I go to some of the bouts. I'm an honorary member of the Denver Dolls, which is a flat track team.
Mm-hmm.
I keep track with Jim Fitzpatrick with the San Francisco Bay Bombers and the owner up there. And I kind of follow them along to see how they're doing. And
mm-hmm.
They have some leagues down in Southern California. I haven't kept up with them as closely. I keep in contact with Jim on a monthly basis. So, you know, it keeps me kind of in the spirit of things. And then I have a lot of the flat tracks in different states that I'm following. And as new ones come on board, you know, I
mm-hmm.
kind of watch them a little bit to see how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And watch them go through their lumps and bumps and their ups and downs. And
mm-hmm.
The success and then their downfall. it's a roller coaster for them right now. But they're trying awful hard. And I'd love to see them make it into the Olympics, you know, with roller derby as a sport.
Right. Should. I have two words for you, Cindy. Roller.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Roller hockey. Roller hockey.
Roller hockey. Roller hockey.
You think about it, Cindy. Think about it. See, here in California, we really don't have winter time as far as anybody hockey, skating. You know, we have to go up to the mountains. But a lot of kids are into roller hockey, and they're into the blades, rollerblading. Cindy,
rollerblading, yeah.
So rollerblading is very popular here in California. Roller hockey, there's still roller rinks, and you turn it just roller hockey instead of mm-hmm. All right, leave it at that. Yes.
Okay.
Can you imagine a lot of kids in the league who are rollerblading right now? Imagine a league of roller hockey, and they're in a rink right now, and they've got the net just like hockey, and they're using the sticks just like field hockey, and I think that could catch on, Cindy.
Terry's the hockey buff. He was in New York, you know. They played that hockey on the ice kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you start a little kid league and everything, give it a summertime, and you get into make a deal with the roller rink and come up with a little league. I'm telling you, roller hockey, Terry can lead the charge.
Terry'd have to lead the charge on the roller hockey. I'm not good with sticks. I might hurt somebody.
Oh, yeah. No, put it down. You have to be on the ground. Oh, okay. You have a person here. India said something. India said to you, you spoke to India earlier today, and she says, I like to once again thank Cindy for helping to pave the way for young people to find a healthy pastime that keeps them so busy with great people. Room for individuality, and lifelong friendships. I know roller derby has saved a lot of souls, and she helped build that community. That's what she said to you about you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. God bless her.
Oh,
that's awesome.
You are awesome. And we're going to go now because I got to learn how to skate because Terry's starting up roller hockey. And
I think it's a pleasure having you on.
Exactly.
Roller hockey. You and Terry, roller hockey. Yeah, here you go.
I'm telling you, I could be an owner.
owner. Roller hockey to the nearest bar. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Terry. We're going to the bar.
That's right.
How dare they escape with no insurance? Let's go. We got deniability. All right, everybody. We're out of here. Have a great weekend, Memorial Day. God bless our veterans and our soldiers who are still fighting, and not to mention the soldiers' wives who don't get enough credit and the families. And thank you so much. And Cindy, you are the princess, and you are a queen of royalty. Thank you so much. Efren Valdez for staying with us. Thank you. Kelly Corbin, you're always beautiful as my executive producer. Without you, I would still be sitting here and having a fat butt. Thank you for getting me great guests.
Thank you.
Ellen,
you're welcome.
Thank you for running the board. I saw the board light up today. I'm telling you, when Cindy walked in, I haven't seen that board light up. It was like Christmas time. Thank you for putting the names in there, and I know who to go to.
Oh, you're
Cindy
welcome.
And Terry, I salute you. And unless anybody has anything else to say, I'm honored to interview you, and thank you so much for a great interview. And everybody have a great weekend. Anybody else have anything to say?
Well, you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Thank you. Keep us updated on your Kelly, please keep us updated with Cindy. Let me know if they're doing I don't mean to talk behind you, Cindy, but Kelly, let me know of the Indiegogo and things like that if it's coming up, because we're going to try to put people in there to fund their project, okay?
Sure.
All right. We're out of here. Thank you so much, everybody. Be safe this weekend, and I'll see you Monday.
Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Cindy McCoy started to change the world with her courage and her athleticism, and we hope more people step up and this world will be a better place. Kelly, Cindy, Terry, Ellen, and Mr. Efren, and also all the Mr. Lawrence, Morgan Lawrence, I'm so sorry, buddy. You too, Mr. Morgan Lawrence, have a great weekend. You were coming in and you had to leave. The streets ran red, right, Kelly? The streets ran red.
Right.
Mr. Morgan Lawrence's book. God bless you all, and we'll see you Monday. Goodbye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.